Hello and welcome to another episode of Just Jets. What is going on? I am Matt O'Leary, going to be hanging out with you for episode 216 of the Just Jets podcast. Excited to be here. Today we're going to get into the New York Jets. And are they avoiding a prospect? We'll get into NFL draft rumors, an absolutely mind-numbingly dumb tweet, and of course, your voicemails. But before we do that, you have 6 days remaining. This is the last reminder that you will get on the Just Jets podcast about the Talkin' Jets draft party. Go to TalkinJets.com and purchase your tickets to hang out with us at the main event. I know there was some confusion, so just for some clarification in case this applies to you or if you did this, if you call the venue at the main event, they will sit you in a spot. Like, and they'll say you don't need a ticket. That's the best way of saying it. They'll say you don't need a ticket to come to the main event. But if you want to come to our exclusive draft party area and hang out with us while we do the live broadcast and all the Jet fans and stuff like that, that you need a ticket for. That you can't get through the main event site, or if by calling them, you go to TalkinJets.com for that. Sorry for the confusion, but hopefully that clears some things up. We are really looking forward to it. It'll be myself, Ryan, Greenbean, the Talkin' Jets crew, Jeremy, Jets Chaos will be there as well, doing a ton of content. It's going to be an absolute blast. I'm really looking forward to it. So hopefully we see you there. Okay, so what I wanted to do today was get into a few NFL draft-related items for the New York Jets, because let's be honest, folks, that is the main topic of conversation. And speaking of the Talkin' Jets crew, someone who is a part of our crew but unfortunately won't be there, Dom C. If you're not following along with Dom C and his coverage on the Talkin' Jets channel, on his own Twitter account or his own channel, you are missing out because he provides a ton of really great information. But something that he put together for Jet fans was a prospects visit list. So of this list, it goes through things like if this prospect has taken a private workout for the Jets, a top 30 visit, if the Jets went to their pro day, if they met with them at the Senior Bowl or the Combine or at another bowl game, and it keeps track of all the prospects on there for, you know, who the Jets have met with so far. Really had a cool tool to go through and look at all the different players that the New York Jets have, you know, shown interest in. And again, it doesn't necessarily, it's just showing interest. It doesn't mean the Jets have to draft these guys, and someone that they didn't meet with or who isn't on this list isn't an automatic that he's not being drafted. But something that I did find surprising, and we'll pull up the list here for the video feed. People, if you're watching along, you'll get to see. If you're an audio feed person, don't worry, we'll talk through it. But one of the big name guys who you would think the Jets have met with and talked to and had a workout with, Brock Bowers is not on the list. Now, Brock Bowers did not participate at the combine in like any of the on-field workout stuff. He was there for media availability, and he was able to meet with teams. He met with the Colts, Chargers, Titans, Bears, and Bengals during the combine, and I believe he is set to meet with the Bears again soon, but was unable to participate because of the hamstring, so we did not get to see him there, but a little bit surprising. So I'll pull up the list, because when you look at like all the big name guys, and we'll start down here at the wide receivers, they have taken top 30 visits from, you know, three guys or two really who are expected to go in the first round and maybe a third in Troy Franklin. So you have, let's see, Romo Dunze took a top 30 visit with the Jets. They had a private workout with him. They attended the pro day. For Malik Nabers, top 30 visit, private workout, attended pro day. And if you want to include as well Troy Franklin in there, who's maybe a borderline first round pick, they had a private workout and attended the pro day at Oregon. So unfortunately, they did not have that same thing with Brock Bowers. And they, if you want to go up to the offensive tackles, they have met with a ton and done a lot with these guys. So Joe Alt is a big one, a top 30 visit there, private workout, attended the pro day, and they had a meeting with him at the combine. JC Latham, they met with him at the combine and attended his pro day. Roger Rosengarten, the offensive tackle out of Washington, the private workout, you had the pro day and the Senior Bowl there. I wonder if Dom has guard or Futanu, there we go, is listed as a guard slash offensive tackle. Private workout for him, pro day, meeting at the combine. Where else? Olufashanu, they met with at the Senior Bowl, did not have a private workout with him. Maybe that's something of note, but they did, meet with him. And then Talisi Fuanga, they had a private workout, attended the pro day, and a meeting at the Senior Bowl. So they've done a lot with these guys. And if you want the full sheet, Dom tweeted it out, if you want to take a look at the full thing. But Brock Bauer's name doesn't appear there, and that could change over the next couple weeks. But my question, and it's only a question. This is not me saying, I feel like I've made it clear, but I want to reiterate, I'm not against the Jets drafting Brock Bowers. I think he would be a really nice piece to this offense and would be really, really fun in this offense. This is just presenting the question. Are fans higher on Brock Bowers than the Jets are? That is my assumption from this data that we see so far. And maybe it's just that. Maybe it's just an assumption and I'm wrong to assume that. And it could just be a smokescreen. Like, I'm giving you the other side of the coin here. It very well could just be that. But I interpret it and I look at it and I go, well, you know, all these guys who feel like they could be top 10 picks or options for them in the first round, they did a ton with the offensive tackles in the class, who Joe Douglas talked up a lot at the owners' meetings. And then they've done a lot with the two really big receivers in Malik Nabers and Romo Dunze. So why haven't they done anything with Brock Bowers? And it's not like you say, well, you know, he didn't do anything at the combine athletically, and he didn't participate at the pro day. I mean, like, they lost their opportunity because, as I listed before, Colts, Chargers, Titans, Bears, and Bengals have all met with Brock Bowers. The Colts recently linked to a team looking to potentially trade up for him. Bowers to the Bears would be interesting at 9. Who knows? Maybe that happens. The Chargers at pick number 5. Maybe they just go off the board. They don't go wide receiver. Instead, they want to take Brock Bowers, and they do that. Titans at 7, they could use more weapons. I know they paid Calvin Ridley a bajillion dollars to go down to Tennessee, but that's one. And the Bengals very obviously could use a tight end. I don't know if he'd be there at 18, but they might have to trade up for him if that's something that they wanted to do. But I was just thinking, like, they've done a private workout with essentially all the offensive linemen. They've, you know, met with Romo Dunze, Malik Nabers, and Troy Franklin, and Brock isn't there. So my natural, again, this is just my interpretation of it, and who knows, maybe on draft night they call Brock Bowers and it's like, that's the guy who they wanted all along. But I don't think the Jets are, they're doing a very good job of not leading that on. I think we see from a lot from like the outside, whether it's fans or whether it's just media, like, hey, you know, he would be really good in this offense, he'd be fun for Aaron Rodgers. But I'm not as convinced that this is what the Jets are going to do. And maybe they're just smokes. Again, I'll say it again. Maybe they're just smoke screening it. And, you know, on draft night, they'll call his name and they'll be all, you know, happy and giddy. And you could point to them being so high on Michael Mayer last year, who ended up going to the Raiders. But if Will McDonald wasn't there at 15, if someone took him earlier, they very well could have taken the tight end at that spot, which would have been a shock to a lot of people. So I don't know if you could just say that they are avoiding Bowers, but I do think that it's interesting that they haven't met with him yet. And maybe that changes, but I think it's something to, you know, keep note of. I think that's a noteworthy thing. The next thing that I wanted to get into was JJ McCarthy and talk some NFL draft rumors, because that's what it is. It is NFL draft season. So for a long time, JJ's been a weird one, but I was going to say for a long time, there's been talks of JJ going in the top five, and it's possible there's JJ all the way up at two over Drake May and Jaden Daniels. I think that's crazy, but you never know. The Vikings are in on J.J. McCarthy. The Giants are in on J.J. McCarthy. But it wasn't that long ago when McCarthy was viewed as a fringe first-round pick. And you point to last year, Will Levis, you know, he's coming out of college, and it's the same thing. Is this really a guy who's going to go, you know, that high? And then there was talks right up to the draft, oh, he's someone who he could be the third quarterback off the board. He can go in front of Anthony Richardson. And then he goes in the second round. But what if we are not nearly as high on J.J. McCarthy, or we're too high on J.J. McCarthy now? It's flipped, because months ago, it was the NFL is higher on J.J. McCarthy than the public. But what if it's done the inverse? And Pat Leonard, who works for the New York Daily News, was hosting the Talking Ball podcast on the Believe Network, and he had on Adam Schefter, and Adam Schefter had this to say about J.J. McCarthy.
You know, I think when J.J., if J.J. were to fall into that area where it's 8, 9, 10, the jet spot, and he's still there, maybe you'd be more apt to see a trade there, because it wouldn't be as dramatic as a team giving up on a top wide receiver or the top offensive lineman, and it wouldn't take as much for a team like Minnesota or Denver or Las Vegas to trade up to get him. I just think it becomes more likely once we get past 4 and 5 for as much chatter as there has been about 6, 4 and 5 being moved.
So 4 and 5, pick number 4 is the Arizona Cardinals. They said they're open for business. And the Chargers at pick number 5 is a team that's more recently been thought of as a team that could move out of that pick. But would they actually do it? Would they give up? And Schefter brings up a good point to mention the wide receivers. You can make a very strong case to just stick and pick one of those guys, because they could change the fortune for your young quarterback who does not have a ton of weapons. The Chargers lost Keenan Allen and Mike Williams and Austin Eckler this offseason. So they are going over a facelift on offense. For the Arizona Cardinals, they don't have that number one guy. They just don't have that stud number one receiver for Kyler Murray. And Kyler Murray came back and played well, and that's why they're not going to be drafting a quarterback. But this is going to be really interesting to see. What if, let's say, the top three picks are quarterbacks, and then it goes wide receiver, wide receiver? I would think the Giants just take J.J. McCarthy at 6 and be done with it. But who knows? Maybe they take Odunze, and then they push, you know, the things go down the board. When looking for trade back scenarios for the NFL draft, and specifically for the New York Jets, oftentimes it revolves around the quarterbacks. And I don't see a world where Drake May, Caleb's going one, but we'll say Drake May or Jaden Daniels making it closer to 10 for a team to trade up to. But is it possible for J.J. McCarthy to be there around the pick 10 and the Jets like, hey, you call up, I don't know, maybe the Raiders want to move up for him, or Denver, or whoever, and you're able to do it that way? It's going to be really interesting to see, because, as I mentioned, like, McCarthy, man, I am really puzzled by him, because I have no idea where he's going to go. I don't view him as a top 4 pick in the draft type of quarterback. I think he's a first rounder, you know, in that Kenny Pickett-like range, right? Someone around that. But I don't think he has any elite skill that is going to put him in the top. And I'm not saying that J.J. McCarthy is going to bust because of that. I think J.J. is just a little bit boring. Kind of like a Mac Jones, in a sense. Boring prospect. Came in, he played well right away. But oftentimes we see the quarterbacks with the traits go so high, because if those traits hit, you're more likely to get a superstar than J.J., who's maybe safer than some of the other quarterbacks. And maybe like Mac Jones or Kenny Pickett could have been safer than guys in their class that they went in. But they don't have any elite traits to make them make that jump from, a good quarterback to a great quarterback. But maybe the NFL views J.J. McCarthy as someone who's going to be a great quarterback. I think he has a chance to be a good starter, but I don't know if I'm there that he's going to be this elite level stud. The last thing I wanted to get into before we get into voicemails was Dove had an all-time tweet. If you don't know who Dove is, Dove Kleiman is one of the aggregators. If you don't know what an aggregator is, it's people who steal other people's work. Not exactly, but it's a gray area for what they do. They're cultivating news, but put spins on it and make it seem certain ways to get more clicks. And Dove had a tweet that said, name a quarterback who wasn't perfect, but lacked arm strength and athleticism, so they never succeeded. I'll start. Colt McCoy. Post a picture of David Blau, though. That is, one, the line of name a quarterback who was perfect, but lacked arm strength and athleticism, so they never succeeded. I'd be like, name a wide receiver that was perfect, but was slow and had bad hands. Name a defensive end who was perfect, but was slow and couldn't get to the quarterback. Name a cornerback who was perfect, but let up big plays and never intercepted. Like, what are we doing? And some of the replies, people were taking it serious. I saw a very disrespectful Chad Pennington in the picture, in the comments there. Chad Pennington, when healthy, was a very, very good quarterback. Unfortunately, injuries, kind of derailed his career at the end. And, it was part of the reason why the Jets didn't have that, big guy that they thought they were going to get. But in some of these comments, man, it's crazy. Buffalo Jet fan had a good one. Name a wealthy person who just lacked money. And then there's so many other... Jay Gruden chimes in. Who the hell is that? Colt is much more ugly. However, he was plenty athletic and had plenty of an arm. Just a few unlucky injuries. Then they get Chad Pennington. There's a lot of Chad Penningtons in here. That is just... The absolute disrespect for Chad Pennington is a bit much. Lacked arm strength and athleticism. So they never succeeded. What... Anytime you get a chance to dunk on these people, I think you got to hang on the rim because they just do a bad job for the coverage of this sport, unfortunately. Let's go to the voicemails. I am excited for the voicemails. We'll close out the show with your guys' thoughts on a whole lot of different things. We'll start with a familiar face, Billy Bilstein. Haven't heard from Mo Bill in a while, but how is Boca, my friend? Let's hear from Bill Bilstein.
Hello, Matthew O'Leary. You may not remember me. It's been a while.
Of course.
I used to call into the show. This is Billy Bilstein. Sometimes you rush me and make me feel pressure.
I'm sorry. I don't
mean to. Get to the meat of the call. But I would like to tell you that I think that most of your listeners prefer to hear my voice more than your voice.
Doubtful.
We get enough of you. This is our platform. You opened up the phone line.
That's right.
So let me get to it.
Perfect. Only a minute in.
I feel like the Jets made a lot of good moves. Hassan Reddick was a nice surprise. I also enjoyed looking up and seeing that we traded and got Morgan Moseley's back.
Close. Morgan Moseley.
I think that was a good move and decision by J.D. What I would like to ask you is, I was told that Trey Dean
was poached
from the practice squad. My question is, will J.D. ever learn that you can't leave future Pro Bowl safety just hanging around on the practice squad? What are we going to do if we can't re-sign Ashton Davis?
I don't know.
Who are we going to get instead? Also, is it normal for an 87-year-old man to still eat full bags of family-sized Doritos? I can't help myself. Goodbye.
Come on, again with these calls. Billy Bilstein is back. What a character. Oh, I know you miss Billy Bilstein. I know you missed him, listeners at home. You, where do you get comedy like that? Billy Bilstein, Trey Dean, he might be the only person still upset that Trey Dean is no longer on the New York Jets. I would like to bring Ashton Davis back. Honestly, I would, which is shocking for me to say. I didn't think, if you asked me this question a year ago, if I'd be asking the Jets to re-sign Ashton Davis, I would have laughed. I said, no, I'm all good on the Ashton Davis experience, actually. But he has a role on special teams, was around the ball a lot more. He was a really good player for them last year. He's a good third safety. But you could also go into the NFL draft and use, you know, one of your two fourth round picks on a safety who could fill that role. Or there's still a bunch of veterans on the market. So I would not fret if they don't bring back Ashton Davis. And how are they going to replace a Pro Bowl caliber Trey Dean? Unreal. Next call, I believe, I want to say Elvis in Delaware. Hard to hear, but Elvis.
Okay. What I was saying, I like the Jets. Jets are good.
Yes.
They got the right lineup. All they need is somebody to protect Aaron Rodgers. If they got that, they're going to go all the way. That's all I got to say. They're going to get them. They're going to set on teams that cut them what they're worth. All right, talk to you later. My name is Elvis Shockley. I'm from Delaware.
Incredible. Absolutely incredible. I have fantastic news for you. The Jets signed, before the NFL draft, signed three starting offensive linemen. Tyron Smith, all-pro left tackle from the Dallas Cowboys. Jets signed him. One-year deal. They traded a sixth-round pick and swapped fourth-rounders with the Baltimore Ravens for Morgan Moses, who is a good starting right tackle. They signed John Simpson, who's going to play left guard. They're moving AVT back to guard. Joe Tippmann's going into year two at center. And this is all before the NFL draft, baby. There's still more. So don't you worry, Elvis. They're going to be protecting Aaron Rodgers in 2024. Peter from the beautiful Hudson Valley is up next, and he wants to talk some Brock Bowers. All right, let's do it. It's the Brock Show.
Hey, Matt. It's Peter from up in the beautiful sun eclipsed Hudson Valley, calling in on Monday here during the total eclipse. What a fun thing to have happen, which is a fairly regular occurrence, so I don't know why everybody's so crazy about it. But hey, it happens. With some thoughts on a couple of topics, one actually relating back to last week's episode of Just Jets, and your thoughts on if the Jets new uniforms. I read somewhere on Twitter, and I can't remember from who, but it seems like they're debuting next Monday the 15th, which I'm certainly looking forward to, as I'd like to get a new jersey and a new number. Maybe, possibly 19, if the Jets decide to go Brock Bowers in the first round of the draft, which I tend to be leaning more towards now. Now, I've always kept an open mind on which way the Jets should go, and I think offense with most of this draft is how they should definitely choose to upgrade themselves. And even if they do take Brock Bowers at, say, 10, or trade down with the Raiders, and maybe he's there at 13, but they pick up that second-round pick the Raiders have. Even when you look at it, it's still a good thing for the Jets. Having these options is the best way to go. But one thing that reminded me of why I think the Jets will go Bowers is, again, from last week's call that PG called in. And then you talking more about the Idzik 12, and then thinking back about Quincy Enunwa, who was probably the best player out of that whole group. But the fact that, of course, he got his neck got injured, and he had a short career. But Enunwa was sort of a wide receiver tight end hybrid, and that's basically what Bowers is. You can't think of him as just a tight end. He's going to line up in the backfield as a, you know, as a fullback. He's going to line up in line. He's going to line up in the slot. He's going to be a weapon that creates mismatches. And I think that's the main reason why they would decide to take him, since the O-line has been solidified for the most part. Yes, there's injury concerns. Yes, we want some more depth. I think they'll go with Bowers right now. That seems to be the leading idea, because he can create those mismatches. And that's the thing that the Jets haven't had since Enunwa was there. And because his career was cut short, I think the Jets have kind of always been looking for that again at some point in the draft. And now might be the time, the best time, to strike and do that. So let me know your thoughts on that. And as always, go Jets.
Yeah, there you go. It's, I would be on board for it if they did it. I would not, you're not going to get me coming on the next day and bashing it, or my live reaction at the main event in Farmingdale is not going to be bashing it. It's an interesting perspective, and I like to hear, you know, the different sides of the argument here and just talk through these things, because there's no way to know until, you know, a couple of years down the line, once he's in the league, who's going to be right or who's going to be wrong. And, you know, not necessarily saying that I don't think that Brock Bowers is a good prospect. That's not what I'm saying at all. I don't think the Jets are going that route because of the that they haven't met with him, unless they're going to smoke screen it, which is entirely possible. But they did show a pressing need last year, or an urgency, better word, urgency to add weapons. They were thinking about Jahmyr Gibbs last year, if he was on the board for them. They were thinking Michael Mayer. Maybe they like the weapon more than some of the people, like myself at times, lead, you know, fans on to believe. Because I think Joe Douglas, as a former offensive lineman, gets all like he wants to build the trenches in the trenches, but guy also likes his weapons. So it's entirely possible. It really is, Peter. It would be a nice ad for this team. And that's something else. I'll close with that for Peter's question or comment here. For those who are really strongly against Brock Bowers, and they point to the you can't take a tight end that high because it's failed this time and this time, or they don't need a tight end because they have Tyler Conklin. Drafting Brock Bowers isn't kicking Tyler Conklin out of the lineup. If anything, it's kicking Alan Lazard out of the lineup. You're going to have Bowers as the big slot, and you're going to have, you know, a tight end in Tyler Conklin on the field. And, you know, there's times where you could do two tight end sets, or you could even do three tight end sets and get our guy Jeremy Ruckert on the field. They could do some creative things. They could run the football. They could pound the rock into oblivion, which is something that I know, like, it's sexy to talk about Aaron Rodgers and all the weapons and, you know, scoring all the points and him throwing for 50 touchdowns. But the identity of this Jets team, they're going to want to run the ball a lot. Breece Hall is going to put up some really big numbers this year. And look at their offensive line adds. John Simpson, what he does in the run game. Morgan Moses, what he does in the run game. Look at some of the prospects that they've, you know, been linked to on the offensive line. They, for months, Talisi Fuonga was a name that was linked to the New York Jets. Why? Because he's an absolute mauler in the run game. That's the kind of guys that this Jets team and regime really, really like. And you'd be able to do that if you had Bowers. So don't just write off that pick because you looked at his what position he's listed as. You got to watch how he plays, too. PG from Long Island is next. He'll close us out.
Hello, Matt O'Leary, PG from Long Island here. Couple of things. One, I just want to tell you, I'll see you on the 25th.
Nice.
At the Jets draft day party at the main event. Looking forward to it. Looking forward to meeting you. Looking forward to having fun at what could be a very exciting draft. So there's that. Quick question here. I'm wondering about draft day. Now, how much do these GMs talk to each other and really give each other the intel? In other words, like, is the some GM call Joe Douglas and says, hey, what do you think of the tight end? Because, you know, we're pretty high on him. We'd like to move down. What would it take? Or is it less, is it more vague? And my guess is it's kind of a case-by-case scenario, yeah. Right? Each of these GMs have relationships with the others, but they're not equal relationships, right? I'm sure Joe Douglas can speak more honestly to the guys at the Eagles and the Ravens than he does with some of these other GMs he doesn't know that well, where he might have a more guarded conversation. Only reference point I've seen is draft day. Obviously, that's fiction where the guy asks him, you know, well, who are you going to take if we don't trade for him? He's like, I'm not going to tell you that. you know, they know exactly who they're going after. But in any case, interested to see if you have any, you know, insight on that. Again, I think it's probably a, you know, case-by-case scenario, depending on the relationship. But just wanted to get your thoughts there. See, you know, and then the other thing is, once again, looking forward to the draft day party. And as always, go Jets.
Yes, excited for the draft day party. Looking forward to meeting you, PG, and looking forward to meeting a lot of Jet fans. There's going to be some return faces, people who have come out to, you know, events we've done in the past, but it's going to be a lot of fun. I'm really looking forward to it. And you bring up a really good point, I think, with the relationships, because every GM has a different relationship or they come from somewhere. That's why a lot of times we see, like, a good example, the Giants with Joe Shane. How many former Buffalo Bills did they bring in? Right? It was Joe Shane and Dable. So I feel it was like it was double because you had two of those guys teaming up together. But it's legit. Like, that is definitely something that these GMs, they lean on. And sure, just because you're not as close with someone doesn't mean that you're not going to call them up. But I think there's a comfort level that some GMs have. Like, you know, for any profession, you have coworkers that you're closer with and maybe you like to collaborate on things on a little bit more than others. But that's not going to necessarily stop you from, you know, talking to, you know, these other people if need be in order to get things done. But I think it is a case-by-case basis, and I do think that the relationships help. And it's a little bit of a, like a brotherhood almost. I'm trying to think of the right word. I guess brotherhood works where, you know, you gotta know people to work in this league too. So a lot of these guys are very well connected. Their relationships help a ton. And that's important to get for a GM because you got to do everything you can to improve your football team. Guys, that's going to do it for us on this episode. Thank you so much for tuning into the show today, Just Jets episode 216. Make sure to subscribe wherever you get the show. Leave a like and a comment if you're watching on as a video. Audio feed, 5-star reviews, leave the comments. I appreciate you guys. I'm Matt O'Leary. I'll catch you next time.